We have a special guest in the studio and joins, I believe, every Monday? Or what day is this? Is this Monday? Wow. I need to get that food fast. Dick Weiss is in the studio. Dick, how are you? Happy holidays to you,
sir. Great to be here.
Yeah, and you're in. McGraw will hate me for saying this. I rarely don't listen to any sort of radio during the day, so I don't get to hear what McGraw does typically on a weekly basis. But you're in here every Monday, and what do you do when you're sitting here?
We critique the media.
Critique the media.
Yes.
And you're telling me off the break you worked for the Post-Dispatch for 30
years? Yeah, I was
an
editor at the Post-Dispatch for 30 years, writer, reporter, writing coach, and now operate my own website called WeissWrite.com. And we edit stories and write them and help people write their own stories.
All right. And as people are out and about here on this Christmas Eve and not getting that last-minute shopping done and tuning in, what sort of things are going on in the media world that make a news this day?
Well, I would just like to state for the record that Kara's claustrophobic joke in the last hour I thought was very funny, even if you didn't. And
everybody in St. Louis didn't, right?
I thought that was courageous of you, given that she's operating the controls. And you probably weren't aware of it, but as I was driving the car, you were off the air for about 10 minutes.
She turned me off, huh?
Yes.
Uh-huh, yeah. She does control all the buttons.
I thought it was hilarious.
I've got one fancy.
Tell the joke again, because people may not have heard it.
Gosh, you put me on the spot. What do you call a child that is scared of Santa Claus?
A child that's scared of Santa Claus.
Claustrophobic.
You know what? It was almost as good the second time.
With a mouthful of food.
That was good. All right. It did sound a little better. So, Dick, what kind of stories are people talking about here?
Well, the one thing is that it was a historic week in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
On December 19th, the Post-Dispatch ran on its front page an advertisement. It was the first time, I think, probably in decades. I remember as a small child reading little agate advertisements on the front page of the Post-Dispatch,
right,
for one thing or another. But I worked there, as I said, 30 years, and there had not been a page one ad. Now, this is something that increasingly around the country, newspapers have begun to run ads on the front page as a way of making more money.
Sure.
First time for the Post-Dispatch, though. And the interesting thing about this ad was for Lumineer,
mm-hmm,
Casino.
Yeah.
And it ran on the day, I believe, that they opened. And the ad was discreet. It was so discreet that it was possible to mistake it not as an ad, but just as some information, which is probably not a good thing. On the other hand, it wasn't so garish that it made the paper look seamy. Now, the complaint about A1 ads is that it makes it look as if the newspaper is sort of is too mercantile, that it's everything is for sale. And of course, there are ads inside, and nowadays you go online, you can't go onto a homepage without having a lot of ads staring you in the face and some popping up and getting in the way of your getting the news. So it offends, I think, the sensibilities of many journalists. But I wonder what you think of it. Does it bother you?
No, it doesn't bother me, but I tell you one thing I have thought about recently, speaking of newspapers, and we've had this discussion for a while, and folks go both ways, but I think that I don't see the newspaper, the actual physical newspaper, lasting that much longer. I haven't bought an actual paper in a very long time. Everything I read, if it's local, on the Post-Dispatch's website, I've not picked up a physical newspaper in I don't know how long. Do you think?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you are in that age group 30 or so, I think you.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you were lying about your age in the last hour.
Well, I sound
Andrew's
like
24, and yeah, you claim to be 27.
I sound like an old man. But
you don't
I'm
look
really,
much older than that.
Yeah, I'm 12.
But that's generally true. The younger generation is increasingly getting their news in other forms. A lot of people think it's just from Comedy Central, but I think basically people are going online and finding out lots of things. In lots of ways, the problem is that the older generation, there's still a lot of us boomers around, and those who are older cannot walk into a restroom without a print product in our hands.
Right.
And so we don't want to give it up. And so the newspaper that changes too radically is going to lose its tried and true readers and possibly not pick up the younger readers. So they're between a rock and a hard place now. But I think you are right that 10 years from now, if there are print products, they will mainly be pointing, they'll be like the TV guide for the web. They'll be pointing to things that you want to go find on the web.
Right.
As they are increasingly, at the, even at this point.
And you mentioned Comedy Central is the place for people in my age group to get the news. That's actually somewhat true. I'm not a huge Comedy Central fan. I watch some of the shows, but a lot of folks get their news, especially in my age, from the late night comedians. They just the punchlines that they have in their monologue. That's how they get the day.
That's right.
That's how they find out what's going on.
And it tips you off to things where you can then, if you want to read something serious about it, you can go on the web and find it, Google it, find it almost anywhere. And the problem for newspapers like the St. Louis Post-Dispatch is that where they were primarily the only daily print product in St. Louis, now people can go on the web. They want to find something local. There are a tremendous number of resources, thousands, perhaps tens of thousands of resources. I'm not even sure. But anything that they do on a national or international basis, the competition for your attention is huge. So they don't dominate the marketplace the way they used to, both in terms of advertising and in terms of the information.
And I've mentioned this before. It'll be interesting to get your take on it. I think that every news organization, doesn't matter who they are, always has some sort of slant, be it to the left, to the right, or rarely anymore do I think that most media, be it newspaper, radio, television, has, you know, are totally independent. I always tell people that they should, if they watch, I'm just throwing one out there, like an NBC News, that they should counter that with an ABC News and watch as many news programs and read as much as you possibly can, because people can omit one tiny little thing from a story and it may give you a totally different point of view had they left that little thing in there. I mean, do you agree with that? Or?
Yeah, I tend to think that the mainline broadcast outlets, NBC, ABC, and CBS, try to play it down the middle and are as straight as they can be. That said, there are MSNBC, the cable portion of NBC, I think, is to the left.
Yeah.
And Fox clearly is to the right.
Right.
And I think they do that intentionally. I don't even think that they really are trying to sell you on the view that they are down the middle, because what they think sells is opinion and commentary. And they will, you know, they'll have, Fox has some people that are on the left, more on the left, just like almost as a foil.
Right.
You know, Juan Williams, for instance.
Or Alan Combs, or
yeah,
one of those guys.
And so on. And CNN, which is down the middle, I think, as cable might be, but I think slightly to the left, has Lou Dobbs, mm-hmm. who I think is more on the right, or just a little bit off, you know, has a screw loose, and, at least in my opinion.
Some days.
In my unbiased opinion.
Yeah, right. Some of the other stuff going on, Katie Couric had a, I guess, has she been for the past few weeks been talking with some of the presidential candidates? I guess she didn't do it all in one special.
I think what she's been doing is posing an interesting question, which is essentially, do you think infidelity, being faithful to your wife or not, should play a role in how people vote? Now, she's not asking the question directly to some of these candidates whose peccadilloes are well known. She's just saying, should it be an issue? And they have come back with some interesting responses. Rudy Giuliani basically saying, well, I'm not perfect. If you want somebody perfect, vote for somebody else.
Right.
A nice response. But the question in journalistic circles is that an appropriate question to ask? And I would back her up on that, because I think actually Bill Clinton's infidelity came into play in the White House. It caused
I missed that.
Led
that
to his impeachment.
Never,
were you? Were
never
you,
heard
you
anything
were,
about that.
You were
what, first. I've heard
12
of
or 13.
It.
You weren't picking up the newspaper, were you? The print product. It was in there.
Oh, okay. I'll be darned. I had to research.
And his infidelity led to the impeachment. Mm-hmm. I would say you can make an argument that it led to the war in Iraq, because when the presidential race came along, Al Gore couldn't run too closely with Bill Clinton. Therefore, he lost the election, you could argue. Therefore, George Bush came into office. Therefore, Iraq was attacked. And so infidelity, you can trace it back to infidelity if you like. It's at least a theory.
It is a theory. And one other thing here, you mentioned Matt Drudge is reporting a story in the New York Times about John McCain. What's that all about?
Yeah, it was, well, it's interesting because John McCain's came out with a response to a story that had not yet been published. Matt Drudge went with a rumor, which I think is was later confirmed, that the New York Times was looking into McCain's possibly doing favors for a lobbyist inappropriately. Didn't say exactly what those favors were. Had something to do with a telecom bill. That's all that came out. McCain's campaign moved very aggressively to deny something that had not yet been reported as a story. And then, of course, other newspapers picked it up, and so the rumor is out that McCain has, or the word is out that McCain may have done some favors for a lobbyist.
Which would not be good.
Perhaps damaging his campaign.
And that's his big thing, is not bowing to the pressure of lobbyists.
So what is a responsible journalist supposed to do with that? Do you not report that this is out there when it's all over the web and ignore it until it is a story, until there's facts that can be confirmed or not? And here we are talking about it.
And here we are. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more. Bill Cleveland sitting in for McGraw on the McGraw Show here on the Big 550 KTRS. Dick Weiss hanging out with us. He said he has nowhere to go today. He said he'd hang out with us as long as we needed him. And if you've heard the show, we certainly need him. So we appreciate that. What other stuff is going on in the news?
Well, we were just talking. Kara was making note of the fact that despite what is happening in the newspapers, people like to read.
Yes, I've noticed.
You know, and you were mentioning that men, older men, are getting on their laptops and surfing the web perhaps more than anybody else.
Yeah, I found a story at some point, a couple different studies that said the largest group, the fastest moving, fastest growing group of folks that are now getting their information from the internet, people who are listening to, say, music or news information stuff on the internet, people who are watching news and video on the internet, the fastest growing group are the, like, baby boomers. I mean, they're the one. And I always thought it would be people in their 20s that would be, you know, that'd be the fastest growing. It's not. It's people who are older.
Yeah, and what's different is that what the web makes possible is that we are not mere passive consumers of the news anymore. In some cases, people who are going on the web are making news themselves. They have the ability now when a story appears sort of in a mainstream website like the New York Times, they can go on with their comment. They can go on with their comment with anonymously if they want or with their name if
right.
they want. They can put information out there as we call them citizen journalists and create a stir. And often what happens is they will debunk some line of reasoning from a candidate or from a journalist, and they become a story in and of themselves, and that can take flight as well.
Which I think is a pretty cool thing. I have two thoughts on that. The first one is that you know, before we had to really all we had for our source of news were the newspapers, and you had you know, your I guess basically for the three, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC, your local news, you know. But now people can, go on online, go on the internet, and if they know something more about a particular subject or say, hey, they were leaving this out, or hey, they weren't reporting this, and they can give their opinions on stuff. So I think it makes people, almost forces them to become a little more educated about topics and things.
Yes, the downside, of course, is that a lot of this information gets out there unedited and unfiltered.
Right.
And so some reasonable questions that might be asked about, like, where did you get your information? How do you know what you know? Do not get asked all the time. And some websites are screened more carefully than others. And it's hard for you to know. It's almost like maybe there ought to be a rating system.
Well, that's like the joke, you know, I read it on the internet. It must be true. You know, it's like,
right.
of course you got to double check here. The other thing that bothers me about that, you mentioned folks can post things anonymously. People seem to get they're a little more edgy. They're a little more pushy. They say things on these blogs that they probably wouldn't say if they were sitting in here talking to you and I face to face. People get a little more I don't know, crude. They're a little more rude. They're, you know, they do things that maybe they wouldn't do. So that part I don't like, that people can do things anonymously.
Yes, I think that, I mean, it coarsens society. I think it leads to uncivil discourse. It makes people take sides. When often around a lot of these issues, immigration, for instance, I mm-hmm. think there are lots of shades of gray.
Yeah.
And that's too bad.
Yeah. And usually I'm all for uncivil discourse, but not on the internet. I say stay away. Stay
just
away.
On the radio, right?
Yeah. Now, every Monday, I believe you do a report, the best story you haven't
yes,
read.
Yes, I call that the best story you've never read, right. Because there's so many great stories out there in journalism and in newspapers, as a matter of fact, that people don't see. So I try to highlight one every week. I put a link to it on my website, weisswrite.com, weisswrite. And I had what I thought was a great piece. And it was about a class, a college class in Pittsburgh that had gotten in touch. It was a criminology class. And they'd gotten in touch with a serial killer.
Oh, wow.
And they were learning from the serial killer. But I thought, you know, that's just not really appropriate kind of thing to put up on Christmas Eve.
Right.
So I'm going to save that for later. And I've got a piece, the Charlotte Observer. It started a series, 25 stories around the holidays, and they're little vignettes almost that were submitted by readers. Their stories were submitted by readers and then written by the reporters after doing some interviewing. And they're little pieces about memorable Christmases that people have had over the years. And the one that's on my website is about a woman whose father, as a Christmas tradition, would give her a doll every year. And the story, I won't give it away, but the story is about the last doll that he gave her. She was 20 years old, and she was about to get married, and it was the last doll he gave her before he died.
Mm.
And she remembers it, and it's a beautiful little story. It'll take you 3 minutes to read, and there's also a video attached to it, which is very moving, so I recommend that people on Christmas Eve go and give that one a read, and we'll save the serial killers for, oh, New Year's Eve.
Yeah, or like, you know, like bringing a serial killer to Christmas party. You probably don't want to do that.